This is Find Your Dream Job, the podcast that helps you get hired, have the career you want, and make a difference in life. I'm your host, Mac Pritchard. I'm also the founder of MaxList. It's a job board of the Pacific Northwest that helps you find a fulfilling career. Every Wednesday, I talk to a different expert about the tools you need to get the work you want. The sponsor of our show is Top Resume. Top Resume has helped hundreds of thousands of professionals land more interviews and get hired faster. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/top resume. What do the best job seekers have in common? Today's guest has hired thousands of people while working in the government, the private sector, and the nonprofit world. And she says the most successful applicants always know three things about themselves. Joining me to talk about this is Tia Coachman. She's the founder of Affirma Consultancy. Her company provides bespoke human resources and executive search services. And Tia joins us today from Portland, Oregon. Tia, let's jump right into it. You say a job search should begin by knowing three things about yourself and to be self-aware, in short. Why is self-awareness important when you're looking for work?
When you are looking for work, Mac, you want to make sure that you know what you have to offer. When you're engaging in an employment relationship, it is, in fact, transactional. You come to the table with something, and you're getting something out of the relationship as well. So you want to walk in knowing what you have to offer and knowing what you knowing how you can expand and broaden in that relationship.
Many job candidates treat the search as if it were an NFL draft. They just wait to be picked, and they think the qualifications are enough. Why isn't that the case when somebody like you is sitting on the hiring manager's side of the table?
Because it's not enough to just bring the tools. It's not enough to bring the skills and the knowledge and the abilities that you have. That is great. Knowing what you know is the first thing you need to know as a job seeker. But you have to also be willing to learn, right? You also need to recognize that there are things that you don't know. Because that is where you provide room for your skills to be deepened and strengthened, where your knowledge to be broadened, where your abilities really to be honed in on. And so knowing that there are things that you don't know is the second best thing that you can do when you're walking into a interview or into an employment relationship.
Well, let's talk about those three things. You've got a list of three things you say every successful job seeker knows. The first one is to know what you're good at. And you touched on this already, but tell us more about that. Is it just understanding what your skills and certifications are, or are you talking about something else, or something more rather, Tia?
It's the hard skills and the soft skills, Mac. It is those hard skills, those tactical, you know Excel really well, or you understand coding really well, or, you know, those really technical and tactical skills that you have. Yes, you need to know those things, but you also need to know how well you work with other people. What kind of people do you work best with? What type of environment do you work well in? What kind of learner are you? Are you visual? Are you audio? Do you need to try it on your own before you can really grasp the concept of it? So there's those other kind of self-awareness, soft skills that you need to know that really amplify your I don't want to, not an asset, but what you bring to the organization.
And Tia, in your experience, do you think most people know what they're really good at, or do they have some blind spots?
I think most people definitely have blind spots, but that is where the benefit of a mentor comes in. That is where the benefit of feedback, asking for feedback, either from current managers or former managers, or even after you've had an interview and you didn't get the job. Asking for feedback on how you showed up in those interviews is very important and critical to your self-awareness of what you're bringing. if you are someone who, you know, has bombed an interview, and hopefully, you know, we've all bombed interviews, right? Where you have done that and you've asked for feedback and they said, well, you know, you didn't answer the questions, right? You didn't answer the questions because you were, maybe you were nervous, or maybe you didn't understand, or maybe you didn't have the KSAs, right? You didn't have the knowledge, skills, and abilities of what we were asking in the interview. That gives you time for pause. That gives you time for reflecting on what it is you need to level up on. It also will tell you what you maybe did right or in those interviews. And so that's why, you know, it's a holistic reflection of knowing what you know, having confidence and feeling like an authority over the things that you, those KSAs, I always go back to them, because that is what you bring with you.
You mentioned a number of ways to get clear about what you're good at: talk to a mentor, ask for feedback from a hiring manager, perhaps after an unsuccessful interview. Do you have a favorite tip, Tia, that you share with job seekers to get clear about knowing what they're good at?
Yes, be humble and get vulnerable, because that's the only way you're going to receive the feedback that you need to then walk in confidence of what you know and who you are.
And the benefits of this, what I'm hearing, is when you know what you're good at, you're a more confident and attractive candidate, aren't you?
Absolutely. People want to work with people who are self-aware. And we don't talk about that enough. But, you know, we want to work with someone who knows what they're good at, knows what they're not so good at, because they know then to lean on others to help build that part up, or to lean on the expertise of others and not try to stand in expertise when they don't actually have it.
And you mentioned humility, because it's good to know what you're good at, but you don't want to be arrogant about it, do you?
No, you don't. Because people don't want to work with anyone who exudes arrogance either.
Yeah, agreed. Now, the second item on your list is for every job seeker to know that there are things you don't know. Tell us more about that.
Again, this is having a willingness to admit that there are things that you don't know, and things that you should learn and could learn, and those things will help you get to where you're wanting to be, whether it's a certain job or a specific promotion that you are looking to get. You have to realize that your knowledge, your skill level and ability level are capped at some point, and then you have to break through that threshold in order to progress further.
How do you get clear about not only what you don't know, but the things that you don't know you need to know? Because obviously there's so much we could learn, but our time is limited and we need to be strategic. So what would you say to a job candidate about identifying those gaps, the ones that matter the most? How do they get clear about that?
It goes back to that tip of being humble and vulnerable. Ask questions, right? Be curious about other experiences. Be curious about what's outside of the box of your realm of knowledge, skills, and abilities. Be curious about how other people got to where they are, because that is how you learn that there are other things out there that you could also learn. If that makes sense.
It does. And I'm curious, Tia, as a hiring manager, how did you react when a candidate might say, well, I don't know that? Was that a sign of weakness, or what was your reaction?
I appreciate when candidates can acknowledge that they don't know something, even if they and have anticipated that was a question that I was going to ask and that there was an expectation for them to have an answer. You know, to say that, no, I don't have that answer, but I'd love to learn it, or I'm very curious about it. I read an article, or I heard about this topic in a podcast, and I was, you know, really interested in it, but I don't know enough about it to really to show up as an expert right now. That is self-awareness, and that is admirable and attractive to a hiring manager, because A true manager who is leading a team will want someone who can come in and be a sponge and absorb. So being willing to learn things that you don't know and acknowledging that there are things that you don't know is fundamental.
What about candidates? I'm sure you ran across them who thought it would be a sign of weakness to admit that you didn't know something, and they tried to pretend otherwise. What was your reaction when you ran across a person like that?
Well, hopefully those people are listening to this podcast. you know, I have had those experiences where I know of candidates, or I've been in interviews with candidates when, you know, they pretended to know something that they did not know, or they were hesitant to say, you know, I really don't know that. Or they start to beat themselves up, and you can see it, you know, in not only what they say, but how they say it. And I am a firm believer of immediate feedback. So I would tell them, it's okay if you don't know. And there should be more hiring managers and interviewers who are doing that, especially for generations that are below them, because there's this expectation to always know and be on when you're just not there yet. And that's okay.
And what would you say to a candidate who meets a manager who might have a different perspective than you and expects you to know it and is disappointed that you acknowledge you don't know a topic or a subject? Is that a company where you might not want to work?
Exactly. I would reflect on that experience with that hiring manager or interviewers to say, if you're expecting me to have all the answers right now, what are you willing to teach me? Are you willing to teach me anything? And I personally would not want to move into an organization that is not offering instruction and learning and development.
Okay. I want to take a quick break, Tia. And when we come back, I want to get your reaction to a phrase we hear a lot in the workplace, which is fake it until you make it.
Okay.
So hang on. Knowing what you don't know is a strength, not a weakness. And like most of us, you may not know much about writing resumes. But that's okay, because the experts at Top Resume can help. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Top Resume has a team of professional writers with experience in more than 65 industries. And since 2014, Top Resume has helped hundreds of thousands of people get more interviews and land jobs faster. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Stop worrying about how to start your resume, what to include, and what to leave off. When you hire a resume writing service, you work with professionals who know how to do these things. And that saves you time and helps you get the job you want quicker. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. Now, let's get back to the show. We're back in the Max List studio. I'm talking with Tia Coachman. She's the founder of Affirma Consultancy. Her company provides bespoke human resources and executive search services. Now, Tia, before the break, we were talking about the importance of acknowledging what you don't know. And I hear this all the time in the workplace. I'm sure you do too. There are people who say, well, don't admit that you don't know something. Fake it until you make it. What do you think of that, Tia?
You know, I actually enjoy this, that type of guidance, because to me, it's aspirational. To me, it says you acknowledge that you don't know everything. So that's the first step, right? But you also know that there are things you know, and that is how you are able to fake it, right? You are able to show up in a way, because you may not have all the pieces together, but you have some. And lean in on those. And by doing that, by trying, right, you will likely succeed in whatever it is that you are trying to show up as. So I see it as more aspirational, as opposed to act like you know everything. That's not what that statement says to me, that phrase says to me. It says, acknowledge there are some things that you don't know. You're not an expert right now. However, there are some things that you do know, and lean into those, and you will show up closer to what you think people want you to be.
So being candid and being willing to take risks, those are appealing qualities to a hiring manager.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Business is all about taking risks, right? So you should have employees who are also doing that.
Yeah. Any final tips about how to talk about a subject you don't know well that might be an important requirement for a job in either the interview or in application materials? Again, acknowledging that you don't know something, but how can you do that in a strategic, thoughtful way?
Understanding how that one thing you don't know well impacts other things, because there may be some factors that can be partnered with the thing that you don't know that you do know, right? So if I am an employee or a candidate who, you know, I don't know, let's say, diversity and equity work, which is very close to home for me, but I know HR. Right? I have the fundamentals of HR, and you know how to take care of people in a workforce equitably, but you may not be well versed in, terms that are frequently used for diversity and equity and inclusion work. It doesn't mean you can't do that work. It just means that you're going to have to balance, right, and level up with what you do know, about, you know, managing teams and managing diverse teams and having equitable systems that you operate in, and how and really just balance that with the work that you don't know, that equity work that you don't know. It can be done. You just have to find the right balance. And again, it goes back to knowing what it is you know, reflecting on that, what are you bringing to the table, and balancing that with the things that, you know, other people are bringing to the table. I hope that makes sense.
It does. And I'm glad we're talking about the second point about what you don't know, because I think many of our listeners understand this, but no employer expects a candidate to meet 100% of the requirements or know everything that a job might require. Isn't that true, Tia?
Right. No one is perfect, right? No one has 100% of what is needed. But here's the thing, what is needed today is going to change tomorrow. Right? So we need to be hiring for the future, which means we need to be hiring for people who have baseline KSAs, but have capacity to learn and to adapt.
Terrific. Now, the third thing on your list is of things that every job seeker needs to know is that there are things you don't even know. Tell us more about that, Tia.
There are things that you have not experienced yet. When you are a individual contributor and you have not yet managed a team, you have not managed people processes, and you've done so well as an individual contributor that you've been promoted to this new role, you are going to be exposed to a whole different world, which is called management. Right?
Right.
And what is happening is that we are having employees, and I'll get to candidates, but we are having employees who are in this new world of management that they didn't even really know existed. They didn't know what it would take to manage successfully and be a successful individual contributor at the same time. And their minds are blown. And that is why we have leadership coaching. That is why we have management training. Because there were things that you didn't even know existed when you were just a junior level team member.
Many people who go through that transition from being a contributor to being a manager, they think the management skills should be natural and come easy, but that's not the case, is it, Tia?
It is not the case. And it takes time and it takes getting some things wrong. But when you start to get it right, you need to reflect on those things that you are getting right. And as you are when you go from employee to candidate, right now you're applying for other jobs elsewhere, you need to be able to say, I've gotten these things right. I've been exposed to this new world, especially if it's a leadership or like a senior management position where you will now be managing people and people processes. You have to be able to say, not only can I contribute as an individual to this work and do that well, but I can also contribute as a manager and manage people and processes well.
Many people who are in a contributor's role, they may never see themselves as a manager. And I think that's another thing you're getting at with this point. What would you say to somebody who is thinking about promotion and just says, well, I could never do that? How does this play into that?
So it's true. There are people who should not ever be managers.
Yes.
And hopefully they themselves know why they should not be managers. Again, it goes back to taking inventory of your hard skills and your soft skills, right? Your emotional intelligence, in addition to your general intelligence. Because if you don't have that EI, if you don't have the necessary soft skills to truly manage people, then you're going to fail in management. And so, taking that inventory is important. And then there are those who haven't experienced it yet. They haven't had a taste of it to even know whether or not they would be good. But they have maybe a desire. You know, I would recommend that those people really reflect on why they have that desire. What is it in them that makes them think that they could be good at it? And then identify what it is that they need to learn, right? To get better, to get prepared, to get ready for that next step, to dive into that world of the unknown, which could be management for them.
And how do you recommend they do that inventory besides self-reflection? What concrete steps do you recommend people take?
Again, asking for feedback, asking for others to put a mirror up to you and say, this is how you show up in the workplace. This is how you show up in the world. Go back to your, performance reviews and see if they were aligned with, how you really felt about your own work performance and with your managers. Take those reflection steps. I mean, self-reflection shows up in so many different ways. But these are some, I think, critical, actionable steps that people can take. Asking for feedback is top of the list. And again, being open and vulnerable to hear some things that you may not have thought about yourself, or you didn't see yourself in that way, and being committed to changing where necessary.
You've interviewed hundreds of people, probably several thousand over the years. Can you tell when you talk to a candidate if they are aware of these three things?
Most people are somewhere along the spectrum of knowing some of the things that they know, but not really feeling confident in them, all the way to thinking they know everything.
I think we've all met those colleagues along the way, haven't we?
Right. We have. And yes, I can tell in an interview, in any interaction with people, when they have walked into that experience with me feeling good about the things that they know, knowing what they are bringing to our conversation. I can also tell when people are willing and open to learn something new. That means they don't center themselves. They listen attentively and actively. They will acknowledge that there are things that they want to learn that they don't yet know. The harder thing is to know when, to recognize when those people show up who think that the world that they see is the only world that exists.
And how do the people you meet who figured this out, how did they do it, Tia? Did someone coach them along the way? Was it trial and error? What was their secret, do you think?
I think it's realizing that in the workplace, especially in a diverse workplace, that you will come with only your story. You will come with only your experience and your KSAs, but that others around you will come with theirs and it will be different from yours. And so the people who can grasp that concept are the people who will succeed and be able to really digest what we're talking about today.
And again, as somebody who's made so many hiring decisions and recommendations along the way, why does that stand out for you if you're looking at two candidates with equal skills levels, but one has those three insights and the other doesn't? Why does that make them so appealing?
It makes them appealing because, one, they're coachable, right? That means that I can mold and help to shape their career, not just this one job. It means that they will make my company better. They will make the work that we do better because they will look outside of themselves for ways to kind of level up because they have done that work for themselves or will be doing that work for themselves. So that is what is going to make that candidate really attractive versus someone who walks in thinking they have all the answers and they're exactly right and perfect for this job. I don't want the person that's perfect for the job. I want the person who wants to make the job better.
Well, it's been a terrific conversation, Tia. Now, tell us what's next for you.
Well, Afirma is growing. We have our roots in the creative industry and in advertising, but we are branching out into nonprofits and fashion brands and all kinds of different industries. And that was our full intention. And so I'm excited about the scaling and the reach and the impact that we can have on workforces without industry boundaries.
I had a chance to look at your website. You're doing terrific work and you've got wonderful clients. I know people can learn more about your practice and your services by visiting that website, www.afirmaconsultancy.com. Now, Tia, given all the great advice you've shared today, what's the one thing you want a listener to remember about the three things every job seeker needs to know?
Be confident in what you know. Be open to learn what you don't know. And believe, please, that there exist things out there that you haven't experienced yet.
Are you still working on your resume? Let the experts at Top Resume help you finish it. Get a free review of your resume today. Go to maxlist.org/topresume. And if you like this show, sign up for our podcast newsletter. Every Wednesday morning at 10 Pacific time, you'll get a summary of that week's show and links to the interview transcript. Go to maxlist.org/show notes. Again, that's maxlist.org/show notes. Next week, our guest will be Debbie Lipton. She's the founder and owner of Lipton Career Management. Ageism in hiring is illegal. It's also a fact of life. Debbie and I will talk about 5 stereotypes about older job candidates and how you can overcome them. I hope you'll join us. Until next time, thanks for letting us help you find your dream job.